Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
By now, I should know that sidebar conversations should be taken care of prior to the show starting. I mean, the show starts at 3. You're here for the show. I don't know how interested really you are in the sidebar conversations, but I have been sort of just, I don't know, multitasking, I guess maybe would be a way. I'm doing a few different things at once, and the show's beginning, the open's playing, and I realize I haven't loaded up the refreshed YouTube stream page, right? I have a page open there. It's got like a bunch of episodes of our shows, both the morning show and our show, and other content, clips of shows, different things, right? And every day, as a part of getting ready for the show, I come in and I've left it on this show from yesterday, so I got to back out of that, right? Hit the back arrow, get to the menu again, and usually by about 3 o'clock or a little bit before, G's got the new page loaded, and I just click on that, and then anytime I want to dip in, see how the bullpen's doing. What's up, bullpen? Maybe even sign in and chat, although I very rarely do that. I just get distracted easily. Anyway, I usually do that before the show, but I did it just now, and so the screen was frozen on a still shot of Nate and myself. Nate Geary was in here yesterday with me, and the looks on both of our faces in the still shot was just the it made me laugh out loud just like 10 seconds before I was supposed to start talking. So there's sidebar one. Sidebar two involves Zach. Zach, how stressed out are you about having to read a story that contains the wording damaged disc? Are you okay in there?
I'm okay, yeah.
What was the word? Ruptured? What was the wording exactly? I don't remember. You're talking about Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, an aggravated disc.
Aggravated disc.
Yeah.
Just take your time all day. Just my advice. The people far more experienced than you have tripped up on that on even national TV.
Oh yeah,
Much bigger venue than here, our little old show on the Twitch and YouTube, and of course on WGR and the Odyssey app. Anyway, good afternoon, everyone. Just don't want you to have a moment. I am the Bulldog. Glad to be with you here. I had to get the stream up because I want to see how my new Wilco shirt looks on the feed. Although you can't really, you're seeing is the original band of Chicagoland. The back has a bunch of Wilco stuff on it, but that's the Bear, the original Beef of Chicagoland. Wilco's from Chicago. This is a little spinoff by my favorite band, so I needed to just, check. I can close that up now. It's distracting, actually. I don't like looking at my big, dumb red face. Here we are. The first episode of Hard Knocks is in the books. And I don't know how much conversation I should expect to get out of the fan base about it. Maybe a whole day's worth, maybe not even an opening 20-minute segment worth. I really don't know. I certainly enjoyed it. I'm a Bills fan as much as I am a Bills observer and member of the media and therefore critic. I enjoyed it. I don't know how anyone who likes the Bills or loves the Bills would not have thoroughly enjoyed that episode of Hard Knocks, because there was absolutely not one single negative thing in it. There was no adversity, no drama. I guess Max Harrison getting hurt is a negative, but even that was, I think, portrayed in the most positive light you could find, with his teammates being emotional about it and Christian Benford coming over to say some words and pray with him. But like no mention of the James Cook situation. Maybe that's coming. I thought we might at least get at the, because it happened late in the time frame for them to get it in the show, I think. I mean, I don't know how quickly they can insert stuff and like when their sort of cutoff for adding content would have been. I did hear from the premiere that was at the North Park Theater on Hurdle Avenue last night that one of the people involved in the production, I'm not going to name names or titles because I'm not sure who it was, said they had only finished the final edit of it a few hours earlier. Even. So I thought that meant we'd get some reference to the James Cook hold-in, but that did not make the cut. Maybe that's coming in a future episode. I don't know. I'm not begging for negativity necessarily. I just think if you're looking for like an objective behind-the-scenes look at the team, you know, I don't know how far Hard Knocks is going to go for that. If you're just looking for more reasons to love the team, and I'm not judging that at all harshly whatsoever by pointing it out. It just was, it looked like it could have been something made in-house by the Bills. Honestly, like that was what it came across as. And again, I've enjoyed their productions, Embedded, Behind the Blue and Red, and whatever other titles they have. Is Embedded maybe the Sabres thing? I don't know if they do that with the Bills. Either way, you know what I'm talking about. They have an arm of the organization that produces, you know, vignettes and like 30-minute to 45-minute episodes of, you know, the NFL draft and the NHL draft, and here's our new player, and, you know, whatever, that kind of stuff. And that all, I've consumed, I think, every second that they've produced of that, and I've liked it a lot. So saying, comparing it to that is not either a criticism. It's merely to point out that there was, I don't think, anything that could have created any real drama last night. Now, again, it's the first episode. I don't know how many they'll run. Do you know offhand, Zach, how long? I am not a Hard Knocks consumer. At least not the summertime one. I watched every episode probably weeks or months after they aired originally of the Giants off-season one. So I'm familiar with that content, but you know, a Hard Knocks season that is happening as training camp is unfolding and the preseason is beginning, that's not content that I am familiar with. So I don't know if they do 4 episodes, a half a dozen episodes. I wouldn't think it's much more than that.
It's 5 episodes.
5 episodes, right in the middle there. Okay, so there's time for them to sort of, you know, fold in the Cook story. I thought when we saw Khalil Shakir shown talking with a teammate on the sidelines, I think about the fan base, or was it maybe about Mr. Brightside? I don't remember what it was, but there was a clip of Shakir sitting with a teammate on the bench at Friday's Blue and Red practice. Well, we're probably going to get some match. He got hurt at that practice and is out for weeks. I saw a photo of him yesterday waiting in line at the ice cream place on a, not a scooter like KJ Hamler or any of the other dudes were riding around in the episode, but like a you can't use your leg scooter. Like he has his leg, you know, folded and resting on a scooter. So anyway, that didn't even get mentioned, and so, you know, it was a lot of confirming of priors. Not surprising that they would want to feature. I did mention yesterday, maybe the day before, you got an idea for like a bottom of the roster guy that may end up being featured. My pick for that almost sort of made it. I don't know if his name was mentioned. Did they mention Stephen Gostel by name? They showed the highlight of him.
They did not mention him by name.
Didn't mention him by name. They showed the highlight of him catching that long pass from Josh Allen in a practice, I don't even know, middle of last week maybe it was. And then Joe Brady was making fun of how bad the spike was in the end zone. But they never said his name. And I, you know, that's not what I meant by featured, by the way. But like he's at least on the radar. Like he made a play. You had to really Zapruder film it to figure out what number is that guy? Because you're watching, you know, you're watching the show and the show is showing you film of that day's practice. And there's this play. And then Joe Brady's making fun of the spike, which was pretty bad. I think he went to spike it hard, and I think he threw it almost. So you know, he's got to work on that. But anyway, it was mostly confirming priors. Josh Allen is featured. He's awesome. The fans love him. His teammates love him. He's got a great personality. We know that. this confirms that. There was no question about it. But, like, here it is. So, again, as a Bills fan, as a Bills observer, as a Bills critic, I'm sitting back going, man, Josh Allen's awesome. I knew that, but that this is cool. This is adding to it. Not that I really needed it added to, but fine. That's cool. Deion Dawkins, awesome personality, big personality, really cool dude. And you got a good amount of that on screen. Drifting. No, I didn't know that he had a garage with this customized drift car, custom painted snowmobile, drifting BMW that he was wheeling around in with his kids. I didn't know he was into that, but it's not surprising to me that he is. Okay, you've got disposable income. This is fun. I did see some comments from people watching the episode, either as it was happening or today, like, the kids in the car, is that okay? Like, do the Bills mind that he's out there doing it? The thing about the drifting is I was talking with Owen about this. He knows all about the drifting. Not really. He's just younger than me, is what it is. I'm familiar with it. I know about the movies and whatever, and I've seen it. And I know my old buddy from Kiss, DJ Anthony, is often promoting events, I think, where Dawkins was showcasing his talents there. Those vehicles are not moving that fast. The idea is to burn rubber and be spinning your wheels the whole time. So I don't think, like, there's the risk of any kind of a high-speed collision or accident or anything. So as someone who, when his kids were 8 and 6 years old, used to take them for rides on the back of a Harley Davidson motorcycle, I am not judging Deion Dawkins for having his kids. I would posit nothing even close to negative ever happened when I had my kids on the back of a motorcycle with me when they were that age. But I would say what Dawkins was doing last night in that drift car was probably safer than what I was doing with my kids. It's not that, like, say everything should, maybe you object. I don't know. Just, I'm not the one to raise my hand and say, what are you doing? Because, I realized that I was, riding around on a motorcycle with little kids on the back. Not often, not at any kind of high speed, no drifting. But anyway, like, that was cool. Like, Dawkins with his family, interacting. Again, confirming your priors. We all know, I think, that he's awesome. And he came off, go figure, as awesome, like a dude you'd want to have on your team, right? Same with Trey White. That story, I think, will be really interesting to follow as the episodes of this unfold. And frankly, even without Hard Knocks, I think following Trey White is going to be really interesting and maybe even emotional for fans. I would say this after watching, this is the value, I think the value, at least for the teams participating and for the players participating in this kind of a show that allows people who aren't around them on a day-to-day basis, like some in the media are, I'm not anymore. It's a long time since I've been at practices day-to-day during training camp. But, like, guys like Sal and Matt Beauvais, who do, I watched their podcast after the episode was over last night. It's always game day in Buffalo. They've been doing that a few years now. And some of their takeaways, I feel like, were, not all of this is super interesting. We see some of it, right? Like, for instance, the scooter stuff. You can like how it was presented, but that's how players get around the campus because you're there, right? If you're not there, you never really see that. KJ Hamler was hilarious with that little the shot of him with the song playing, or is that Riding Dirty? Beauvais had the name on the podcast, and now I don't have it. Anyway, the clip. Was it not in slow motion of Hamler on the little kid scooter squatted way down low, wheeling past one of his teammates?
That was great.
That was the best shot of the whole show. I thought that was the peak moment for me of the show.
That shot and the hard cut to him going, I screwed up.
Yeah, right. But anyway, Trey White, I think, is such a compelling story. He is getting, and I don't think this is just, yay, Trey White is back, let's all like him again. I think he is performing at a level, even before Maxwell Harrison got hurt, that it was, I know I even saw a few people who cover practice and really go hard at watching and analyzing it, and like, Trey White's winning that job. good luck getting him off it. He might not be what he was in 2019, but he's certainly way more than he was with the Rams and even the Ravens last year. He's healthy and he looks good and we really like him, and he's running these hills after practice. Does that seem like a great idea, by the way? Like, we worry about these guys on stadium turf that is questionable. I don't know, tree root, anyone? Like, I'm worried about Trey White because I think we all, I want to stop short of saying we all love him, because that would be inappropriate. We don't really know him at a level where we should love him. But we really like him. We really admire him. I think rooting for him is about as close to taking precedence over the team's interests as I think you can get with a player and a fan base. And what I mean by that is, and this, I think to an extent happened the second time he got hurt, when he tore the Achilles after rehabbing the torn ACL, and talking eventually very openly about how emotional that was, how hard physically and mentally draining the rehab process was. And that, I think, produced a connectivity and appreciation for that player, Tre'Davious White, that I think we as fans don't often think about. It's always about the team, right? Trey White gets hurt the first time against Detroit, and it's, oh my God, the Bills. No, it wasn't Detroit. Von Miller was Detroit. It was New Orleans. Sorry. I'm glad I caught that before anybody had to correct me. But Trey White gets hurt, and it's, you know, of course, you know, the obligatory, boy, that's really tough for him. But your thoughts, I think, speaking for myself, my thoughts are almost exclusively, what does this mean to the Buffalo Bills? What does this mean to the season? How bad off are they going to be if they don't have Tre'Davious White? Who's his replacement? Can they still win the Super Bowl? Like, all sorts of team-related, team-goal-oriented questions pop in your mind the first time he gets hurt. The second time he gets hurt, there's still that, but sort of running up alongside like a horse race, like a horse who's charging hard off of the last turn at the leader who's been maybe out front for the whole thing. And the leader in this case would be the team goals. What does it mean to the team that Tre'Davious White has just tore his Achilles? Coming up hard on your outside shoulder is, oh my God, I feel so horrible for this dude. He just went through this and talked about how mentally and physically taxing it was. And look at him. He threw his helmet. He knows this is a devastating injury. And oh my God, right? It's just, you can see the end of a player's career suddenly. And yes, that impacts the team and how much you care about the team's fortunes. But he's been humanized in a way for being open about that story about how hard the rehab was in the first place, and that sort of creeps up on you. Now that he's back and he's healthy and you're seeing this personality again on display, the ice cream stuff, him interacting with Deion Dawkins' kids, overall, Trey White, he bursts off the screen as someone you want to root for. Oh my God, if something ever happens to him again. Like, it's going to be emotional, I think, for everyone, because you are going to feel like you know him now, even more on a level. You really don't, but it's, you know, that's the trick TV does on you. You know, they let you in however far they're comfortable letting you in. And as I said, Trey White was very open and honest a few years ago about the rehab process and how arduous it was for him. And that was a way of letting you in, not necessarily with cameras rolling, although I think there is video footage of that, but it wasn't a TV show. But this now, I feel like Trey White is someone, how do the non-old people say it? He must be protected at all costs. Like, I feel like Trey White has now elevated to a level where I don't know. Suddenly I'm being self-conscious about saying it because I don't want to sound like I'm predicting something's going to happen to him. But if something were to happen to him, I feel like most of us now are going to care as much, if not more, about him as a dude, as a person, than about what it means to the Bills. Because you're just seeing, you know, he came along, the Bills got good. Like, it all just sort of flows together. So, I mean, that was really well done by the Hard Knocks folks, and credit to Trey White for being as open and awesome as he always is. But it just tripped a wire with me that, like, this dude, man, we are all, again, we're all rooting for the Bills. And so if he's really good, if he's was going to win that job anyways, then, you know, go Trey White. But I'm like as much on Team Tre'Davious White as I am on Team Buffalo Bills right now, I guess what I'm saying. And I'll bet I've got company because of the way that story, even in just one little few minutes of that episode, was portrayed. And what we all know about the backstory and his history with this team and how last year went for him, I just feel like fans are going to be even more attached to him in a way that, I don't know, maybe even me saying this is a way of it dawning on you. Because it's not a normal thought process, I think. Like I said, like most normal fans, me, most of my life. Mike and I addressed this a couple of weeks ago. We said, as you get older, maybe once you have children, the guys getting hurt, it's framed differently. You think about it differently than you did when you were 20 years younger, say. And so I think that might be sneaking up on a lot of people with Tre'Davious White, which is, you know, fine. It's awesome. So there's just some of the takeaways. If anybody's got anything that they want to present about the show, something that you really liked from the show, I'm all ears here, man. I'd love to talk about it. I think a lot of Bills fans are amongst themselves today on social media, wherever they work, if they're together with friends and fellow Bills fans, are talking about the show. Did you see the show? What did you think of the show? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? We want to be that conversation. I want to be that conversation for you today. Maybe even to flatter ourselves the hub of that conversation, if that's possible. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in with anything that you observed from last night's debut of the Bills Hard Knocks series. We gotta wait until next Tuesday now for another one. Well, these streaming people, they got you right away when they started to, here's a whole season, here's 12 episodes of some show, come on in and you'll like it. The Bear, I referenced The Bear. This t-shirt I'm wearing is a Bear-inspired Wilco t-shirt. The Bear showed up, and it was only, each episode was a half an hour or even less. There might have been one long one in there that first season, but they were all there right away, and it was like, you know, a day and a half or 2 days worth of watching, and like, bam, I just watched season one of The Bear. The Hard Knocks, they're gonna make us want it a little bit. We're gonna have to wait until next Tuesday for episode two, and we'll see what that brings. There was one thing that I will admit terrified me about the episode, which I have intentionally held back until the next segment, and I will share that with you as we continue. But 803-0550 is the number. Guest-wise today, Sal Capaccio at 4. The Bills were back on the practice field today. No James Cook sighting, even. Like, not even in sweatpants or street clothes, just not around. The hold-in continues. Third practice now that he's missed, fourth day. Excuse me, of the hold-in. It began Sunday. So one thing that terrified me. So Sal coming up at 4. Our buddy Mike Tenier on the NFL will join me at 5 as well. So we've got that to look forward to. But in between, really, let's hang out and talk about Hard Knocks. I'm cool with that. I'll get you the thing that scared the ever-living you-know-what out of me watching the show last night as we continue. 803-0550 is the number. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has been away this week along with Zach Jones. You're listening to WGR.
Like, when we went to the ice cream spot, and I really was chilling. You know, sometimes, I don't know. he was all over the place, like hitting everybody's face, like Trey Day Sunday. You know what I'm saying? and it's like, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't have that in me to do that. I got his back to back him up. Like, yo, yeah, this Trey Day Sunday really good. Try this. Like, let's eat it together. Boom, boom, boom. Behind his back. And while he's in everybody's face, like, yo, Trey Day Sunday. And it's like, I'm not doing that. But he is. And this other stuff that he's not doing, that I am. So it's like, it's a good component to one another. You know what I'm saying?
That is Christian Benford, fellow corner. Top corner on the team now. Now the top corner on the team. Something Trey White was when Christian Benford first showed up. A few years back, talking about some of last night's Hard Knocks episode, and the ice cream joint was quite a scene. I missed out. I mean, it just looked everybody. The reporters every year rave about a few different things, and that spot is one of them that constantly gets mentioned by everybody who's on the beat. So. Good. I'm glad for them. Glad for the place that it got featured like that on Hard Knocks. What was certainly one of the highlights there. Trey White running around insisting people try his brownie hot fudge sundae. 803-0550. Yes, that's a real sentence I just said on the sports radio show. 803-0550 is the phone number. I am the Bulldog. Mike has been off for a few days. He'll be off for the rest of the week. We'll be back together. I know you can't wait. Monday, we'll be back together. I'll get you my thing that scared me from the Hard Knocks episode as we go, but let's fire up some phone calls. Steve is first up this segment. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
What's up, Bulldog? Thanks, man. I love the show.
Thank you.
I've always loved commentary from the gum-chewing public. I've always liked Trey White's personality, if you will. I think back to that Cincinnati game, with the DeMar Hamlin incident, one of the pictures that always sticks out in my mind is him being comforted by Mitch Morse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a really authentic picture.
I agree. That's one of the most powerful images from the whole night.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is I'm a huge fan of our coach. Like, I know we haven't been able to necessarily get it done in the playoffs, but you know, I think he should get more credit, and I hope there's a feature episode on Hard Knocks where he's sort of shown, and it shows some of his history here in building a team. Because I don't know, it's just one of my favorite parts of the Bills is the coach, honestly.
Yeah, I'm with you almost entirely, Steve. I don't know. Again, I'm not. Am I telling on myself? I've made it this far without ever really investing any time or energy in the Hard Knocks thing. Many of the years that the show has been running, I was not an HBO subscriber, so that's that. And it was never enough to me to get me to pull the trigger on an HBO subscription. So I'm just not that familiar with the content. Mostly, I would say how I have seen it would be the clips that go viral from it that make their way onto social media, and I get exposed to it that way. And so I mostly felt like anything that really is important that happens with, I mean, who was it? The Bears last year, the Jets had the famous time when Rex was there and let's go get some snacks and all that. Anything 7-Eleven, right? Anything that's going to happen on a show like that, I feel like that matters, I'm going to end up seeing without sitting down and watching it for an hour. So, you know, lazy, that's an excuse, I'm cheap. All of those could apply to some degree, but I've just never really sat and watched. So I'm going a long way to say, I don't know about like a feature episode, but I would expect to see a lot more of McDermott. And yes, maybe 10 minutes of an episode on the backstory and what it was when he got here and what it is now and what they've built and, you know, what his core principles are and things like that. I would bet that comes across at some point in some way. It might not be, again, in one neat little tidy package in one episode. It may be interspersed over the next, what did you say? There's five total. So we're one in, so we got four more to go. Over the next four episodes, maybe we'll get a little more of that. I frankly was expecting more from the welcome to training camp, here's how we do this speech that he gave, but that was a pretty short snippet. I would bet we'll get more of what you're asking for there. So, Yeah, no, that's all. I responded. There wasn't anything else there, I don't think, right? John is next up. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. I just kind of want to say I thought the Bills were boring as heck, but in a good way, which makes me very encouraged for the season, that there wasn't one guy on the roster who really stood out as like a real eccentric anything. They all just seemed like good guys. They keep saying I love you to each other. I mean, basically what I got out of the episode was is that Josh Allen's awesome, that he's, really he's the end-all, be-all of the team, that everybody kind of loves him, and they all respect the heck out of him. And you know what? That's awesome. I think that's great. And, you know, even Trey White, even his sundae was boring. I don't think it was even a brownie. I think it was a cookie.
Oh, you're right. It was. Yeah, because he asked about chocolate chip cookies when he walked in there. You're right. Thank you. Boy, I gotta get this stuff right if I'm gonna have any credibility. I mean, I just can't. I can't be making these mistakes.
I wish it was a brownie. Brownies are better than cookies any day of the week. I don't know, Bulldog. I felt good about the Bills.
Yep.
I think that they're boring in a good way. They don't have any divas. It doesn't seem like. I don't know. I loved it, and I was thrilled, and I can't wait till next week.
All right, John, appreciate that. Thank you for catching my mistake on the brownie v. Chocolate chip cookie controversy. Let me try to make that as much as I can. You know what, though? Here's the thing. I mean, I agree with the overall sentiment. What do we want? We want the team to be, you know, not that interesting. No drama, right? They can be interesting. Like, to me, I don't think anything boring about Deion Dawkins, and that is a big personality. Maybe he is like the very definition of this team wants you to be who you are. All right. I mean, he is leaning into who he is. I mean, he's a big dude and there's a big personality there and he's doing lots of big stuff and he's great in the community. And we really, really appreciate that. The thing about the boring, like that they're boring. I heard a lot of mature. They look mature. They sound mature. And look, I agree with that. The presentation of the show is what makes them boring. Like they skipped out. Like there was no James Cook. There wasn't even a mention as like here comes Josh Allen walking into his dorm room like everybody else. Right, the MVP quarterback's got to stay in this crummy cell of a dorm room like everybody else. There's no mention of there being a question about James Cook's status. Is he going to report? Is he going to be on the field? There was a couple of shots of him, you know, playing, but I don't think his name was even mentioned. So they went out of their way to make the Bills boring. Now, I would predict that will change. I think, you know, again, maybe the timing of Cook turning this into a hold-in was too late. Maybe they had something prepared about how he is reported and is practicing and that there was some drama around that, but kicked that to the curb before the final edits because once they knew he was holding in, they didn't have any video or anything to really put that together on the show and present it in a way that they'd want to, but they had to maybe ditch what if they had built any drama around his reporting and participating at the start of camp, maybe they had to ditch it. I don't know. But there's stuff that isn't, I don't know. There's stuff that isn't boring. The Cook situation is not boring, I don't think. Khalil Shakir being week to week with a high ankle sprain, far and away their leading pass catcher last year. I mean, by like more than 30 catches, he's their leading pass catcher. That isn't even mentioned. And that happened on Friday night, and there was video from Friday night. So I think whether the Bills are controlling that, because Sal has said many times, quite plainly, they have editorial control. I don't know if they have absolute, like, all-encompassing editorial control, like whether, you know, they would, you know, all right, of these three things, only one of them is going to make it in. Let's pick which one. Like, I don't know to what extent their reach, how far their reach is editorially, but it does, I think, probably hinder what HBO might want to present. So That's why I said it. It came off to me, and again, this is not, I'm not judging this harshly, because I like and have admired a lot of the work, almost all of the work, that the Pegula Sports and Entertainment arm of the company has produced on both the Bills and Sabres. But this show, despite it being under the HBO umbrella and the Hard Knocks brand, came off very much like a thing that the Bills would have made themselves. And again, that's fine, but it's boring by design, I think. Like, I wouldn't say that there isn't, you know, some, at least some tremors in the organization about the James Cook situation and concern about Khalil Shakir's ankle. It's just none of that. If it was going to be featured, it didn't make the final cut. So I'm not sure it's representative of how exactly buttoned up and boring the Bills are in reality. Bob is next up this segment. Hi, Bob. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hi, Bulldog. I just want to say I thought it was really neat when they talked to Josh Allen and Jerry Pegula in the new stadium. And the way they just talked, the way the owner was, like, so much part of it, the way he said, like, to Josh, oh, how many times have you been here? Josh says, twice. And he said, how about you? Five times. And the way they described he goes, how does the wind thing work? And the way Pegula explained it. It just was nice to see, like, your quarterback, your owner, a lot of respect there. And I thought that was really exciting because you like to see that. I think that shows a lot to other cities that, you know what I mean?
I hear that. Yeah. Yeah. I like that point. I would say I think Pegula came off maybe as well as he has in a long time. I'd at least have to say that. And that, you know, that might sound like faint praise, and frankly, maybe it is. Because I don't think he's always presented well when he's on camera and talking. There have been some hiccups along the way. I think there's a reason why he doesn't do a lot of that stuff. But that's a more controlled environment, and again, they've got editorial control. I don't know how the wind technology stuff works either. And I'm sure Pegula knows a lot more about it than me, but what struck me about how he was talking about that was, like, if you've ever gone house hunting, you're going to look at houses, and, like, the realtor is trying to describe to you some feature of the house, but they don't quite have it, right? And you're sort of left going, I'm going to really want to find out what that means. What exactly how does this hybrid home heating system work exactly? What am I doing here? What's in the ground? Just the way he laid that out, I just felt like I would want to have another meeting about this myself, like, to find out what really is going on there. It sounds really promising. There's no question about that. Like, wind being minimized, hearing one of the I'm not sure the names of everyone here, but one of the people that was leading that tour talking about how they've been in there when the wind has been howling outside and it's completely still on the floor of the stadium. That is encouraging. I just thought Pegula talking about it was sort of like he read a Cliff Notes version of what exactly is going on there, and just sort of, you know, tried to get through it. But that was just me. I have not mentioned what terrified me. I will do that next. We got to take a break. 803-0550 is the number. If you want to get in, reactions to Hard Knocks. Sale coming up in about 20 minutes. Our buddy Mike Tenier on the Bills and the NFL coming up at 5. Mike is away this week. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.